A week ago today, as storm winds raged through the country, we spoke to Bernard Gloster, the chief executive of the HSE, about preparedness of the health services during those red weather warnings. He told us all daycare centres at that stage were closed. Home helps would endeavour to get to their more dependent clients once it was safe to do so. The ambulance service was continuing to function, though even by 9 a.m. last Friday, 8 stations were already without power. In hospitals, all appointments were cancelled, emergency departments were continuing to function and staff were on duty. 1 week on, our HSE services back to business as usual. Well, Bernard Gloster joins us again this morning and we're going to talk to him shortly. But let's have a listen first to Karen Mannion. She's the CEO of local development group Forum Connemara. And she told our reporter Joe Caulfield about the difficulties for those with medical emergencies in the aftermath of the storm.
It's been quite devastating for us in the Connemara area. The key challenges we've faced is obviously the lack of communication. So, for example, a friend of mine has a young child with asthma, unfortunately, and at the weekend after the storm, I had an asthma attack, was very sick, called 999, that failed, then proceeded into Clifton, into the town, to see if she could get help, went to the Garda station to see if they could ring an ambulance, and their system failed. So they continued on to Galway, into A&E, and everything is fine now with the child, but nonetheless, obviously a very stressful situation for the parents of a young child. My own circumstances, actually, I have a family member, unfortunately, got sick there yesterday morning, and my husband actually had to get in the car and travel down to the GP, which is 20 minutes away, to actually, there was no communication, you know, we couldn't get through and no phone signal for 20 minutes. An ambulance had to be called and thankfully, you know, everything is going fine. But nonetheless, you know, very frightening circumstances.
And that was Karen Mannion speaking there to Joe Caulfield, and she was talking about the failures and challenges that she and many of her neighbours and friends were facing. Bernard Gloster, head of the HSE, good morning to you.
Morning, Mary.
And you were listening there to Karen as well. So what are the lessons that the HSE has learned across your services arising from this storm?
Well, I think, Mary, the sustained impact of the storm perhaps this time is the one that has challenged all state agencies, not just the health service. And I've no doubt when full restoration of everything happens, we'll be able to have a look at that. Just to say, internally in the HSE and up to a meeting I had last night with our 6 regions, just say all of our services, and I told you last week they were in 3 categories of emergency hospital, people who live in community settings like disabilities and older people, and then people at home particularly, or from their many tens of thousands, all of our services are restored to those people. There was a lot of concern last weekend, and I know there have been anecdotal stories of concern about people who are absent power and water and heat, and they're dependent on electric items for things like home dialysis, for pressure relieving mattresses and so on. I can assure you that all of our high dependency patients were contacted pre-post the storm and attended to it. There's no adverse events have been reported, thankfully, in those cases. That's not to underestimate the difficulty and challenge people are experiencing now where they're without heat, power, water. And as Karen said, the communications network has affected us all in the west of Ireland. Mobile telephony, our Tetra ambulance radio network went down for a period. That's now in the majority restored and the service is functioning well.
And would you accept, Bernard Gloster, though, that this for the future has to be about joined up thinking between those services so that you can deliver better next time?
Well, I think, Mary, every time we have a major challenge or event for our society, I see 3 things that happen. Firstly, I see the immense spirit of public service. And I think it would be important not to underestimate the efforts that all state agencies and voluntary agencies went to and have continued to go to over the last while. And that's ultimately what sustains us. There is a very good major emergency framework there already, and that has worked quite well. But of course, we would always reflect on how things can be done better, particularly for people who experience accentuated levels of vulnerability in their lives. And they're the people who, outside the parameters of any one agency, we all have to continue to step up to the mark and think about.
There's always a danger that once a crisis has passed, that we forget about it really and move on until the next crisis hits us. And I'm thinking, you know, of different sectors that are within the health service. You may have heard a GP called Dr. Catherine Sweeney in Dunmore in Galway. She likened the situation she and I think other GPs as well were facing and the community as a humanitarian crisis. Just one example, childhood vaccines had to be discarded. No idea when she might get additional stock. No communication, she said, from government or the HSE. Doesn't that need to change?
Well, I think certainly we would look at that. And I think after that radio interview, we did reach out to the doctor in Dunmore. What I would say is in most parts of the country, we have a GP lead who works with all the GPs and keeps us in contact with them. And there's two-way communication required there. And so I would say to any GP today who's still experiencing challenges, please contact us. I know the IMO themselves have reached out. But can I say, Mary, this... there's no shortage of effort on the part of any agency that I'm aware of in genuinely caring for our fellow citizens.
But just a simple question. Can you expedite the delivery of vaccines, as in the case of Catherine Sweeney, who's now out of childhood vaccines?
Sure. And we will certainly inquire into that. What I would say is there is a cold chain supply required for certain vaccines. And so they're dependent on fridges. And when the fridges go down, the vaccine for safety reasons is disposed of. Of course, we would make sure that that happens. But what's happening in the West and Northwest today is a sequence of restoration in priority. And like you saw there from Karen, there are always individual challenges for people. There are challenges in our hospitals today discharging people because of the impact of power and heat in their homes. And so all of those have to be attended to. But there'll be no question that we will attend to all the routine healthcare needs of people. And can I just finally say, Mary, in those high pressure areas, we have, and I have again today, all of our regional teams checking in with people who are known to us, who might be vulnerable in any particular way. And there's no shortage of resources or support. And the Minister, Minister Karen McNeill, has been very clear with me. Whatever we can do and need to do, we will do.
You will do. Can I turn to the situation in Portiuncula Hospital? We heard on the programme from Tony Canavan of the Saoilse Group earlier on in the week. There are nine external reviews ongoing. He said on the programme most would be completed by the end of February. Can you just be really clear? Will the findings be made public?
Well, the reviews of the individual care of any person, Mary, they involve a significant amount of personal detail. And the first thing we do is we discuss those with the family. Where non-personal information, particularly for the purpose of either learning or indeed any type of transparency or accountability, can be published, our instinctive position, and I think mine in the 2 years I've been in this job, is to absolutely publish what is available.
Anonymising, and can I ask you just one other question arising from these reviews, but also you had 8 reviews of cases, I think, between 2019 and 23. Prior to that, we had the Walker report into the delivery of care to 18 babies, and that came from 2015. These all relate to Portiuncula Hospital. Recommendations were made. We're told the recommendations were implemented in each case. Why are these failures still happening at Portiuncula Hospital?
And that is the first and foremost fundamental question, which the outcome of the 5 case reviews that are due shortly will point to. And that's a question we have to address. Can I say up front, without the outcome of those reviews, there is no question that 3 interventions and 3 periods of review over a 10-year period in a unit like this is indicative of a systemic concern. And that's what I have to focus on, and that's what I've been focused on in the past couple of weeks in managing this issue. But first and foremost, is the care of the women and their children who are the subject of review, and the care and support and confidence of the 800 women who are currently booked to that unit.
And while you are focusing on these systemic issues, can you say that it is safe for the units in Port Iunclet to continue to operate and for women to continue to have their babies delivered there?
I have every day over the course of this incident with both my officials and my clinical leaders scrutinised that question. And the level of assurance we have in the context of both the team that have gone there last Monday, the willingness to make it as good as it can be by the staff on the unit, and the openness of everybody, I'm absolutely satisfied that the level of assurance has fundamentally increased, and that will be sustained until the outcome of these reviews. And I can assure you that any change in my level of assurance, first and foremost, the women affected by that are the people who will know about that, and there will be no hiding from that. It's an important element of a safe healthcare system that when things go wrong, and they do, that we identify them, that we're open in our disclosure about them, and that we correct them.
Bernard Gloucester, Chief Executive of the HSE, thank you very much.